Excuse me, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Amber May Show. I am so glad you're joining us today because I have my friend Jeff Dornick of the Jeff Dornick Show joining us, and we have a wonderful program for you today. We're talking about AI and also the Hollywood's influence on us to condition us to accept AI, and we show some films, some trailers of some films that have conditioned us just for COVID. And then in that film, you see the transhumanist agenda in the film that we're going to show on the trailer today. And then we get into the fact that AI threatens 300,000 jobs from workers like you and I. And that's coming from a CEO of a top company who was interviewed on CNBC. So we're going to get into all that and more. So I hope you'll like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com and hit the donate button and donate whatever you feel you can donate. Or you can be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. Now, yesterday, I just wanted to share with you, I got this press release yesterday, and I want to just encourage you that people are doing things and things are happening. And yesterday was declared the Take Our Border Back Day, and they were using Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. And they said that they've had a lot of accomplishments with the trucker convoy that went across California, Arizona, and Texas. And so the Texas border, Governor Abbott has been closing the border and reinforcing that. Some of the key accomplishments that got highlighted from the trucker convoy when they went against Arizona, California, and Texas. There was a historic impeachment vote from the House of Representatives of Secretary of State Mayorkas. A lot of media coverage has happened with this group of We the People Take Back Our Convoy. They have had a lot of media coverage, even mainstream. And there's been a global awareness. The movement has successfully raised awareness among millions worldwide, showcasing the collective power of American to enact change at local and state levels. There's also been a spiritual renewal. Second Chronicles 7:14, if my people will humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins and will heal their land. And then there's an international alliance that happened from this convoy. A strategic alliance had been forged from Canada and Mexico, laying the groundwork for future collaborations and united efforts. So the Take Our Border Back convoy has some major things happening in the near future, and so we're going to stay tuned. But I just thought that was encouraging for you guys to know that there's a group of people that really care about our border and are doing something about it. If you think, oh, no one's ever doing anything, that's not true. You just might not hear about it. But across our country, people like you and I are being activated and doing something, whether if it's election integrity, whether it's the border, whether it's the schools, whatever your issue is, there are people at work today doing stuff. We just don't always see it. And I just want to let you know that right now, Mike Lindell is doing a huge sale. You can get so many items for just $25. And when you use my name, Amber, at checkout, you're going to get free shipping. So go get those towels. The towels are amazing. It's a 6-piece towels that you can't even get it at Walmart for $25. Or they have pillows, the My Pillows for 22 of them for $25. So go to mypillow.com/Amber and use promo code Amber at checkout, and you're going to get $25 deals plus free shipping. Well, without any further ado, I'd love to welcome my friend Jeff to the program. Jeff Dornick to the program. Thank you so much, man, for joining us today. I appreciate you.
No, thanks for having me on. It's always a blast talking to you.
Yeah, it's always so much fun doing shows with you. You've been hitting some amazing shows out of the park. recent, well, you always do, but like some of the ones I've been really liking lately, and I try to share your content too when I can remember, because your shows are great. I love it. So, you know, I want to tell people where they can find you, and I'll do it at the end of the show too, but where can people find the Jeff Dornick Show?
Yeah, main couple of places would be Rumble. You guys can either subscribe at the Jeff Dornick Show on Rumble, or Freedom First Network on Rumble as well. We've got a whole bunch of phenomenal shows over there on Freedom First Network, everybody from like Teddy Daniels, Ann Vandersteel, Mel Kay, everybody. So you guys can do that. Also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts are the other couple of places to do that. And then if you prefer, because algorithms are nuts and crazy on social media, you guys can subscribe to my Substack, which is jeffdornick.substack.com. You get all of my shows, articles, and interviews in your email inbox. So have that as well.
Oh, that's a great idea, the Substack. Hey, when does your new social media platform launch?
I'm hoping that we will be in beta in the next 7 to 10 days. We are in the final, like, we've got like 95% of everything done, putting the finishing touches on everything. And so for people that don't know, we're starting a social media platform called Pickaxe. It's pickax.com. You guys can actually sign up for that right now, but it's going to be a completely constitutionally protected free speech social media platform. It's not beholden to big tech. We jump it through all the hoops to make sure that we don't have to worry about that as well. But then also we're going to have algorithms that work on your behalf instead of against you. And we're offering monetization opportunities for content creators, unlike anything that's out there. So those are kind of our three main hooks that we're launching with. So
I can't wait till it launches. I think I had signed up to like find out when it will launch. So Hopefully I did that correctly. But you know, so much is going on in the media right now. And I know you and Karen Kingston do shows on a regular basis together. And so what do you, there's something just flashed before your eyes before we got onto this broadcast from Karen Kingston. So share with us that article.
Yeah, let me see if I can present right here. Share screen. There we go. Okay, so here we go. So we've got this article here. It says the headline, this one's interesting. So AI safety researcher warns there's a 99.99999% probability AI will end humanity. But Elon Musk conservatively dwindles it down to 20% and says it should be explored more despite inevitable doom. And what's interesting is Elon has been somebody that I feel like over the years, on one hand, he'll caution about AI, but then on the flip side, then he almost downplays it. He's kind of playing both sides of it. You know, for a period of time, he was calling for a moratorium on actually the development of AI. And then in the meantime, he's actually developing his own AI, which then he launched with X and that whole deal. So it's really interesting. He's kind of playing both sides, I think, of all of this. The problem that I have with Elon specifically is that what he's doing, especially with artificial intelligence and Neuralink and Starlink, and you know, he's a government contractor, works with our military. He actually just launched low orbiting satellites to spy on you know, basically everybody in the world. If you're out in public, they're spying on you. They can identify you using artificial intelligence. Essentially, what he's doing, on one hand, he's claiming I'm the free speech guy, I'm the personal rights kind of defender, and then on the flip side, everything that he's doing is implementing the technology that the World Economic Forum and the globalist elite want to usher in their new world order. And so you're looking at this and you're like, okay, is he a Trojan horse? Is he lying? Is he just confused? Like, I don't take Elon Musk as somebody who's confused very easily. So I don't know necessarily what to make of it. All I know is that there is a disconnect between Elon Musk's rhetoric and his actions. And his actions, to me, point in more in the direction that he is not the free speech enthusiast that he claims he is. He's not somebody for individual personal rights or anything like that. He's somebody that is basically implementing the technology that the World Economic Forum and the powerful elite want. And if we don't do something about it, I think, as the safety researcher said, there's a good possibility this could end humanity as we know it.
Yeah, you know, Elon Musk is one of those people that I hold in the caution category. Like, some of the things he says are right on, you know, like he talks about immigration issues and some of the immigration issues, things he says, I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right on. We should be warned about this. Then he says stuff about warning us about AI. Okay, yeah, I am totally behind that, you know. And then, like you said, he does other things, and the Neuralink thing really is concerning to me. And then, you know, just the circles he's around, and the fact that his ex-girlfriend thinks communism is great, and the way you rush into communism is, I think, through AI. I think that's Grimes. She says some pretty crazy things. So he's one of those people I don't fully trust, and he's in the caution category. Sometimes I feel like he's on our side with some things, and then obviously with a lot of other things, I worry about him.
Yeah. It's funny too, because I was just I had on a Friday show, I started doing a weekly show with Matt Couch, who's one of my closest friends, you know, just at all. And we were talking about this kind of disconnect between Elon, his rhetoric and his actions. And we both kind of have come to the same conclusion that Elon Musk is the real life version of Tony Stark. In Iron Man.
Yes.
And actually in Iron Man 2. And it's funny, I'm actually going through and I'm watching I'm watching all the Marvel movies, right, or all the Marvel movies and shows in chronological order. So not when they were released, but at what time they take place. And it's really interesting because you're seeing the narratives. They're pushing transhumanism. They're pushing all of these things that we're talking about in these series. And Elon, like you said, he had a cameo in I think it was Iron Man 2. But what's really interesting is I just watched the second Avengers movie, and it was really interesting because Tony Stark had been working on artificial intelligence. Obviously, he's got his AI that's in his robot. But then all of a sudden, you know, on one hand, he's working on an AI. On the other side, they're working on quantum computing in the series. And this is the thing I've been warning about for a long time, and I totally forgot that this was even in the Marvel movies. And so what ended up happening is the AI linked up with quantum computing and basically became a humanoid robot that was self-thinking, self-sustaining, the whole deal. And this is what I've been saying is going to happen the entire time. And then this quantum computing AI robot ended up being the villain in Avengers 2. So it's really interesting looking at this. And this was all done because Tony Stark was trying to develop AI in order to protect humanity, do all this kind of stuff. It's going to bring world peace. It's going to do all this. And then it ended up showing, no, once you hook up AI with quantum computing, it's game over. There is almost no way of stopping it unless we have superheroes like the Incredible Hulk or Iron Man, which I don't think that we have. We're talking about the end of humanity.
Yeah, and also let's not forget the Terminator movies. They're already predicting this with the Skynet, right? Which is in China. Skynet is a real thing in China, and we learned all about this AI stuff with the Terminator.
And do you know when the future in Terminator takes place?
You know what? I don't remember.
When right now.
No way.
Mm-hmm. My wife and I just went through and we watched all the movies, and they're like, this, you know, because obviously, it came out in the 80s, and, mm-hmm. and they're talking about the future and the apocalypse and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we're like, crap, this is happening right now.
But in the 80s, this time frame seems so far away. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I remember thinking, oh, man, that seems like forever away. I don't think we'll ever get there by then, you know, like it just seems so far away, and like, wow, we're here. Mm-hmm. And then I was just thinking about the Star Trek, you know, especially Next Gen, because I was a Next Gen type person, and I remember all they would have to say, it was Alexa really being born, computer, tell me about blah blah blah, and then the computer would tell the captain or whoever asked the question, just like Alexa, tell me about such and such. And, you know, that's basically all run by AI, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the thing we have to remember is that movies are typically about 20 years ahead of real life. So basically, if a movie is going to come out, typically the technology that's in the movies come out about 20 years later. That gap is shortening as time is going on. But the thing that we do have to remember and we have to realize is that they're socially conditioning us all to be yes. more accepting when it comes to all of these kinds of things. And we do know that that the CIA has an office right there in Hollywood. They're coordinating with the movie heads and the directors and the writers and all that kind of stuff in order to push a lot of this kind of stuff. So when you're watching a lot of these kinds of movies, they're actually signaling this is what's coming down the road about 20 years ago, actually. There was a great movie called Eagle Eye that came out. It was with Shia LaBeouf back before he went totally, crazy. But it was a movie called Eagle Eye, and I highly encourage everybody to watch it. Up until the new Mission Impossible, that movie Eagle Eye was probably the most realistic application of artificial intelligence showing the concern when it comes to AI. And this, again, I was in college. I started college in 2005. I think the movie came out in maybe 2006, 2007, maybe something like that. And I remember going and watching it, and basically the movie is about how the government was using artificial intelligence in order to run certain aspects of the military and the government and all that. And, it would be checks and balances. And it felt that the president of the United States should have gone to war, but wasn't, I believe, off the top of my head. It was something like that. And the AI felt like, oh, well, the president's making the wrong decision. We need to go to war. And so it basically the AI couldn't convince the president of the United States to knock it off. And so it went down the chain of command and wanted to basically assassinate all of the government leaders down the entire chain of command, so that way it could take over. And what it was doing is it was using technology to manipulate Shia LaBeouf in order to go do its bidding. And it was really fascinating. It shows the power that if this goes unchecked, this is what could happen. And this is the thing that I would say is, like, everybody always says, look, that's fiction, that's over the top, but that could happen. But then also B, with all the different technologies that we're all connected to the internet, your phone, your home security, your computer, your televisions are obviously connected to the internet. Almost everything's connected to the internet. I mean, a lot of people's, like, coffee machines are connected to the internet, so that way you could signal, hey, turn on your coffee machine when you're away from home, and it'll be on or ready to go as soon as you get home. Like, there's all different things. Imagine the power and the capability that somebody could have. If they have access to everything, they're able to hack, whether it's through AI or just a hacker. And then on top of that, then we're talking about brain chip implants. Now we're talking about also, as Karen's been talking about, Neuralace, which is actually the nanotechnology version of Neuralink, where it's actually swimming around in your body, connecting to the internet. Imagine what somebody could do, or artificial intelligence could do, if they're able to hack into the technology that's inside of your body. If we get to that point, like, now, well, even you become a hackable person.
He talks about us being hackable animals now. He says that himself. Yep. Who is he's in the World Economic Forum. He's the advisor of Klaus Schwab. So even he is saying that.
Yep. It's wild. They're being very transparent and honest. It used to be to where they would lie about it, they'd cover it up. Now they're just coming out in the open and they're being honest, because I think that they know they're past the point of no return. They know that they already have the technology available, ready to rock and roll. So there's very little that we can do to stop it, but they still need us to buy into it as a society and as people.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Hey guys, I want to give you a pro tip to help keep your family healthy when everyone around you is coughing, sniffling, or sneezing, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go first to drstellamd.com. When you're there, go ahead and grab some COVID bites. Also, get your ivermectin, set up your telemed appointment, and get your ivermectin. I'm going to give you a promo code to help you save some money, and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and that'll help you save money. Now, here's your pro tip for you. You can use this on your entire family. The adult doses too. I've talked to a medical expert. They said cut it in half when you're dealing with children. So one tablet. What I do with my kids, because it's just too big of a pill for them, I get a blender. I put a pill in there. I fill it with water and, like, some flavoring. And then, boom, I have them drink it before school. Pro tip. And what it has, and it's amazing. It has quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, all the therapeutics to help keep your body healthy and working at optimum health. Support your body's immune system when you use the COVID bites. They're amazing. So go to drstellamd.com, grab your COVID bites, get your ivermectin, use promo code AmberMay, and save some money.
Hello, this is Tanya Joy from Beauty for Ashes, and you are watching The Amber May Show.
Hey friends, are you looking for a financial planner you can trust? Well, look no further than EPS Wealth Management. I work with a wonderful team of individuals, and my part in the team is the marketing director and one of the insurance professionals. our investment strategy works in an up or down market. It actually works harder for you in a down market. So we have an income-based approach versus a growth-only approach. If you are interested in a strategy that's going to work harder for you, even in a down market, are you looking to own some gold and silver? Well, look no further than EPS Wealth Management, because we can lock in some great pricing for you and have it shipped right to your house hassle-free. How would you like to have a pension income for life? It's a great complement to income-based investing in the stock market, and the whole thrust is more income in retirement than you need and can easily spend so you can do the things you've always dreamed of doing and be able to help others in need and leave a legacy for your family. Income also doubles during times of health problems with where long-term care events occur, like dementia, cognitive impairment, having trouble getting in and out of bed. And even if you spend your account down to zero, your basic income will continue as long as you live. So if any of this financial planning is of interest to you, give us a call. Check us out at iloveeps.com. That's iloveeps.com, and let them know Amber sent you.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
And the only way that this actually comes into play and comes into being is by our consent. And as long as we're not doing anything to stop it, we are consenting to the advancement of all of this. And at a certain point, we're going to have to wake up to this fact, and we're going to have to stop consenting and actually do something to push back against. I just posted an article today about, this is slightly different, but like, you know, with mRNA technology, which is also tied to AI and all that. But, you know, in the state of Tennessee, they just passed legislation, or they just passed a bill banning putting vaccines and it's like the lettuce vaccine bill or whatever it is.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So on one hand.
Can you share the article really quick?
Yeah. Let me see here.
I think they're labeling now. They're making them label the food that it's the mRNA. That's what I understood about that legislation. Maybe I have it wrong, but
right.
That they were going to make the food manufacturers label that this is mRNA, and they should, because who's going to think that mRNA is in your food? Like me, I talked about it with what's his name? Tom Renz in previous shows. But honestly, if you didn't pay attention to that show, the average human isn't going to think that there is mRNA in your food. So talk about this article really quick.
Yeah, sure. So I posted this actually this morning. And so, you know, my thing is like, I think it's good that the Tennessee legislative branch was actually doing something to you know, deal with like labeling and all of that. And I've been somebody for a very long time that has felt that the labeling standards in the United States of America are very subpar. I think we should force Big Food to be more transparent about the ingredients that are in our food. They always try to hide it behind like Latin names and Latin terms and things that you don't recognize or can't pronounce. Where they should just say like, look, this is a corn derivative. This is this derivative. Okay. This is non-GMO. This has this pesticide. This has this chemical. Because we should know what we're putting into our bodies at all times. So I'm all for labeling. My problem with this is now we're getting into, if you're going to run with the narrative that Big Pharma tries to lay out, which is, you know, vaccines are a medical procedure or a pharmaceutical drug, why are we even legalizing the allowing of a pharmaceutical drug to be implanted into our food supply? You know, because the thing is that, even let's take out the conspiracy side of things, let's take out the truth about how deadly vaccines are and mRNA technology and COVID jabs and the whole deal. Let's just completely ignore that side of things, and let's just accept the mainstream narrative. Like, how much lettuce do you have to eat, you know, that's been injected with these quote unquote vaccines before all of a sudden it's too much vaccine in your body? Okay. What if you're a vegan and vegetarian and all you eat is basically salad and carrots and whatever it is? How many salads until you're fully vaccinated? Do you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. There was a famous politician that said, how many tomatoes do I have to eat until I'm fully vaccinated? And it's a good point, because now there is no regulation about what's in your body, how much is in your body. It hasn't been tested. What happens if you get too much of this quote unquote vaccine in your body? Are you going to have a negative ramification? Are you going to have an adverse reaction? We have no idea. And then you're throwing on top of that the mRNA technology on top of that, which is deadly. It forces your body to create spike proteins and all of that, which is deadly. It's only causing injuries, disabilities, and death. So at a certain point, we're going to have to wake up to the fact that, yes, I'm appreciative Tennessee is forcing them to label, but why aren't they just banning this practice outright? This makes no logical sense why anybody would even allow it.
Right. And maybe I'm just wondering, because I work down at the Capitol too, and I'm just wondering if there was basically the rhinos and, you know, the Democrats, that maybe this is the best they could do with the people that sit in the legislature right now that's what comes to mind, because I know how hard it is for us to pass legislation here in Arizona. And it's even, I mean, try doing that in California. I mean, you know, Jeff, you live there. Yeah. Like, that would be a no-go. Like, that you couldn't even pass that kind of legislation. So I'm just gonna guess that probably this is the best they can do, and I'll take it. At least I'll be labeled, so then we can be like, oh, I'm gonna go to this tomato instead of that one, or this lettuce instead of that one. At least we'll have that, because as of right now, I don't know which ones are being vaccinated or not. And this is really not new technology. I mean, they've been doing that to the water supply for gosh, decades, putting all kinds of stuff in the water supply. Why? To get it into our bodies and for us to not know about it. So to your point about Hollywood telling us ahead of time, usually you're right with technology, it's about 20 years. However, the Hobbs and Shaw movie was all about COVID and all about transhumanism a year before it all came out. Hopefully this trailer will demonstrate that. Now tell me about the movie.
Yeah, so Dead Reckoning is probably the best movie in regards to the reality of how dangerous AI is since that movie Eagle Eye came out. And it's basically Tom Cruise is fighting against artificial intelligence and taking on AI. It's wild, because it shows almost the impossibility of defeating AI and how difficult it would be to actually do that. That's another movie that I think Eagle Eye and Dead Reckoning are probably two of the best in the sense of like the real life ramifications of artificial intelligence. But Hobbs and Shaw, that was a wild one, because it came out in 2019. It was either 2018 or 2019. But not only was it talking about like a virus that's going to go around the whole planet, transhumanism, artificial intelligence, almost like a real life Terminator villain, all that kind of stuff. But then on top of that, then you're also dealing with the virus and the technology was actually developed in Ukrainian biolabs. And, you know, we're sitting over here, you know, everybody's trying to pretend like there's no Ukrainian biolabs. And all of a sudden, and it's like, well, they were just talking about it in the movies. It was like assumed to be true in Hobbs and Shaw. It's like, yeah, that's not shocking. So it's really interesting seeing the real life things playing out in these kinds of films.
Oh, yeah.
Pick a door.
All right, then.
No, that's my door. Pick another door.
What's wrong with you? You know what? You were right. This is your door.
What's the matter? You got a lot of bad guys behind that door?
Access granted. Access denied. Access denied. Access denied.
Luke Hobbs and Deckard Shaw. We've got unfinished business. Shaw's sister took something from me. A virus that could wipe out half the population, and I want it back.
You want to tell me just what we're dealing with here?
It's my sister, family business.
When it's the fate of the world, it becomes my business.
This whole thing sounds really dodgy.
Look after your sister.
Listen, I'll handle it.
The only way we survive is working together like a team.
Let's do this.
Buckle up, fat boy.
On my three. One.
Woo! Hey, see the look on his face? You have no idea how long I've been waiting to do that. Yeah.
is war time!
The music's already started. Let's see if we can get it sick.
So you guys are being hunted by an army of mercenaries led by a genetically enhanced soldier.
Look at me. I'm Black Superman.
You're crazy.
Damn. He really is Black Superman.
You need to get off the grid.
Where?
Home.
Let babies come home.
I'm sorry to bring trouble here, Mama, but I need my brothers. This family is going to war. We're gonna need cars and guns.
Mama, where's all our guns?
I get rid of them.
Very noble, Mrs. Hobbs. We are in serious trouble.
That's an understatement.
Let's get old school.
Zoe! Uncle Goat, boy, Cassie!
Well, all right.
Tell me this is not happening. Cause it's water.
Oh, in that, it didn't get into it as much as I would have hoped it would have gone into, but we do hear that it is a virus that's going to kill half the population. And then the main bad guy is this transhumanism guy. I mean, it hit everything. It hit the COVID, it hit the transhumanism, and then Hollywood packages it up to make it look so cool. And then you do see how they don't have guns to fight the bad guy. I mean, they don't want us. I mean, there's been an attack on our firearms and our Second Amendment right for decades, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And I have a theory that there's someone behind all these school shootings, because everybody knows it's just a gun-free zone. And we know that a lot of teachers aren't going to be carrying guns to school. Maybe they're probably not allowed to, because it's a gun-free zone. And so all these kids are sitting ducks. And then our elected official gets on and says, hey, you know, these kids died, so you need to give up your guns. And so I think somehow they either MK Ultra these people, or somehow they find someone in such a bad mental state that they can manipulate them to do it, or they pay them an extraordinary amount of money. And even if they go to prison, when they come out, they're like filthy rich. I don't know how it is. I just know that it has to all be someone's behind it. It's not just these random school shootings, because they're going after Second Amendment rights. So yeah. That movie was just like what you talked about. They're programming us already to accept this virus and transhumanism. And it's just like, come on. Hollywood's controlled, and the more we watch it, the more program. I hope that people will start going into these things with critical thinking.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
For those of you that are preppers out there, I've partnered with Prepper All Natural. Prepper offers amazing high quality cooked and freeze dried beef, along with long term storage. Eat well today and tomorrow. And you can check out their food at freedomfirstbeef.com. That's freedomfirstbeef.com. And when you're there, use promo code Amber at checkout to save some money. So freedomfirstbeef.com, promo code Amber at checkout.
This is Charlie Ward. Welcome to the Amber May TV show.
The First Amendment is under attack, but did you know you can help protect your constitutional rights by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative wireless provider that will always support freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and that's why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you can get the same coverage that you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're supporting organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Fund, Concerned Women for America, and more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/amber or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use promo code AMBER at checkout. Join us. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Amber. That's PatriotMobile.com/Amber or 972-PATRIOT.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Yeah, well that's the thing is, like, I was actually in talks with a you know, faith-based director and screenwriter about helping him to produce some movies. And one of the conversations that we had was actually about movies. And if you go and you watch mainstream movies, very rarely is the main theme something that's propaganda. It's typically the subplot. Now, obviously, Hobbs and Shaw, very blatantly out there. Mission Impossible, very blatantly out there. But in general, a lot of times it's the subplots that you're watching, or the things that you have to assume is true for the entirety of the movie in order for the movie to make sense. And mm-hmm. that's really where you need to watch things. And especially when you're watching kids movies with children and things like that, you know, the easy example that I think makes sense to a lot of people is, you know, most people in America have seen the movie Frozen with their kids and all that kind of stuff. And if you see the sequel Frozen 2, that movie, the subplot there is actually dealing with how the white people came in and took the lands away from the Native Americans. And I'm like, and I'll just say this, I'm Norwegian. So Frozen takes place in my home country, basically, right? There's no Native Americans that live in Norway, but yet they wrote that in there because what they're trying to do is they're trying to say, like, look, you colonialists that came in, you stole our land. The only way to bring back peace to the land is to give the land back to the Native Americans. So that is basically the subplot. Most parents don't even realize it. It just goes over kids' heads, but it's actually sticking into their subconscious mind to where when they go to school, now that seed has already been planted, and then they're going to capitalize upon that when they're pushing the propaganda in schools. The one other thing I'll say about the Second Amendment, because you had brought that up, you know, there's probably definitely some truth when it comes to the MK Ultra and the mental health issues and all that. One of the interesting things that RFK Jr. has been talking about when it comes to this and the school shootings and all of that, because he's basically been saying, like, look, the way to fix this is not by taking away your guns. He's like, in my past, I've been for gun control. I've been pro all that. But the more that I look at the data and the research, he's like, the problem is not the guns. The problem, if you're looking at the source problem, is the mental health issues. Now, then he asked the question, why are there so many mental health issues? Well, look at the prescription drugs that these psychologists and psychiatrists are putting on your kids. Look at the side effects. The side effects in a lot of these instances are suicidal thoughts or thoughts of harm. So, I'm sure that there are certain aspects that are MK Ultra and mind control and that whole thing. But it could also just be, we are pumping millions of children onto these pharmaceutical drugs that have catastrophic adverse reactions, including thoughts of suicide, including thoughts of harm to other people and violent thoughts and all of that. And then they're knowingly putting that into our kids and young people. And then this would be the natural ramification of that playing out before our eyes. They can play plausible deniability. No, we didn't MK Ultra that kid. We didn't do anything. But it's really that they understand the natural physiological response to these drugs, and that's in a certain sector of the population that will result in violent acts. And I think that may be a huge part of what's happening. And the only person I'm hearing talking about that is RFK Jr.
And to your point, like, that's what I was also saying, like, that it could also be just someone mentally in a vulnerable state as well, because I don't know the answer. I just don't feel like it's random.
Right.
And then we talk about Hollywood and the programming, like all the violence and gun violence in Hollywood. They're so anti-gun, right? Our government's so anti-gun for us to have a Second Amendment, our right to bear arms. Yet that's all they show is gun violence on TV to desensitize. And then the video games to desensitize. Remember, there was a time when the military used video games as a way to kind of program the military's mind. It came out in a book that my husband found with a guy who knew a lot about death investigations. And he was writing about the military using video games as a way to kind of desensitize and kind of help the guys realize, you know, they're going to war. I mean, they're going to have to shoot people. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a combo there of what we're seeing on TV, like you said, the Hollywood video games to desensitize. And then again, what you said about these drugs that mentally change your brain chemistry. And not only that, if we go back to your analogy with Disney, mm-hmm. what was Avatar 2 all about?
Honestly,
the same thing.
I haven't seen either Avatar movie. My wife and I started the first one and we were bored out of our minds, so we didn't finish.
The second Avatar movie was the same thing. The Avatar people, they were like the Native American tribe, and these bad white people were trying to take their land, and how evil are they, and we need to fight back. And so they started going to other Avatar tribes, whatever their species is called. I don't know. I just, mm-hmm. the Avatar people, I don't know. And then they were fighting against the wicked white people. I mean, I was so upset with that movie. I wish I didn't waste my time, but then it's good that I got to see it, because some people that I know, did you see the Avatar movie? It was so good. I said, no, it wasn't. It was all about the Native Americans and white people killing them and taking their land. It was a terrible movie. I didn't like it at all. It was all propaganda. And you know, I can't go back and fix history. All I know is land gets conquered by wars. Whether we should have been here or not, that's a moral discussion for another day. But it's here. We're here. We conquered the tribes. I'm not trying to say a morality stance one way or the other. All I know is this: what they tell us is these poor Indian people stood no chance. But some of these tribes were vicious tribes, and they don't teach us that in school, where some of these tribes would try and wipe out entire other tribes. And, you know, I had Nick Freitas on recently on my show, and he talked about how when the Spanish conquistadors came in through Mexico, and his professor at the time was saying, oh, these poor Aztec Indians. Well, those Aztec Indians were one of those ones trying to wipe out the other tribes in Mexico. Mm-hmm. That's why those tribes came alongside the conquistadors to try to wipe out the Aztecs, because the Aztecs were trying to wipe up all of them. So the way, you know, they talk about history, you really have to critically think, is this really the truth? Because you might have to go through other deep dives into what actually happened in history, because then we're going to be told a story that is quasi-true, but without all the facts. If we go back to the AI thing, there's some stories I wanted to share with you about AI, which I thought was interesting. Yeah, I don't know. but I wanted to go back to the AI thing, because this is really upsetting me when you really listen to this article. And this is from Zero Hedge, and it says, billionaire Steve Cohen sees a 4-day work week coming. And in one of his rare public appearances, billionaire hedge fund manager Steve Cohen told CNBC's Andrew Sorkin this morning that he expects more and more businesses to move to a 4-day work week. Now, that sounds amazing and wonderful and great, right? But what happens is Cohen points out to a number of factors driving the shift, including the advent of artificial intelligence. And the fact that post-COVID, more companies are allowing hybrid working, meaning that people are not as productive on Fridays. And this thesis supports his major investment in the golf industry. And it goes on to talk about that. But he says, taking off Fridays when you have a portfolio would be a problem, he said. So no golf for the people that watch, subscribe to this news article. But he also said, applying our estimated global labor productivity boost to countries in our coverage implies that widespread AI adoption could eventually drive a 7% or almost $7 trillion increase in annual global GDP over a 10-year period. Although the size of the AI's impact will ultimately depend on its capability and adoption timeline, and uncertainty around both of these factors, it is sufficiently high that we are not incorporating our findings into our baseline economic forecast at this time. Our estimate highlight the enormous economic potential of generated AI if it delivers on its promise. Now, that's if it delivers on its promise, but here's where it gets really bad for you and I and the rest of us. The enormous economic potential, as long as the world survives the revolution that will follow layoffs of 300 million people. So that's where that really bothers me. And I think we're seeing a shift. I mean, I'm seeing the shift just at the grocery store alone, where now we have to check out ourselves. And we don't have someone in the checkout stand checking it out, because now we have this AI machine, this computer that we can scan our stuff. I mean, and then now we can use our hand in some stores and pay with a chip. And now people don't even have to write content on their blogs because AI can do that. AI can answer people's questions on websites. So like the more we let AI do, the less work we're going to have available to us. So then what are 300 million people going to do to survive?
Well, this is one of those things where, and I've been saying this for a long time. If you actually go back to my first book, which was called, Social Injustice: Exposing the False Gospel of the Social Justice Movement, I was actually writing about the education system, and part of the problem with education is they're training everybody to be employees, and they've been doing this for the last 50 years. And you know, you go to school so that way you can go to college, then you can get out of college and you go get a job, you'll work there for 40 years, and then you can retire and you go about your life. The problem with that is that they basically set up everybody to be trained to become an employee of a company. Go work for a big corporation because that's job stability, right? Mm-hmm. Well, now what they're doing is they're saying, well, we don't need all of these employees. And we've got all of these people where all they're trained to do is just basically be yes men. I tell you to do something, you say yes, mm-hmm. and you go do it. So the problem is that we're going to have an entire society that has no idea what to do with themselves. And I keep telling everybody, the best thing that you could do is figure out how to create, how to generate your own income stream, work for yourself. Do not work for somebody else, if at all possible, because you, as long as you're working for somebody else, you are expendable. As long as they can develop technology and artificial intelligence or whatever it is, at a certain point, your job will be expendable. So what do you do about that? You figure out how to work for yourself. That way, if technology is developing and growing and all of that, you are able to adjust with the technology. But if you can figure out how to have your own income stream in one fashion or another, now all of a sudden, you're not beholden to anybody. Now, guess what? You won't lose your job. I guarantee you, those 300 million people, the other 50 million people that are here in the United States, those people are all basically working for themselves, or they own their own business, or they're self-sufficient. The 300 million people are the people that are trained their entire lives to be an employee, rely on somebody else for their income, and then guess what? Now you're screwed. So this is where, do not wait until it's too late, because then if everybody gets laid off at the same time, you're screwed, because now everybody's trying to start a business. Start a business now, figure out your own income stream, figure out how to do that. And if you want ideas, always come talk to me. I've always got great ideas, can always point you guys in the right direction of different things you can do. But then also on top of that, it's also one of the reasons why I'm building Pickaxe is that we're offering monetization opportunities for content creators, and we're going to be coming out with all different sorts of ways that people will be able to earn income directly through the platform, both directly, you know, by content that you're posting or outside sources, and everything's going to funnel through there. Because we need to figure this thing out. One of the biggest ways that we as a conservative movement have been silenced and censored is through the demonetization process. And so that's directly impacted several people that are extremely talented, some of the smartest mm-hmm. people that I know. They had to go back and get a job in their old industry that they used to work for, instead of actually getting in the game and exposing things, because they can't support themselves anymore in the current state of big tech. So that's one of the reasons why we're building out Pickaxe, is so that way we can offer different streams of income to people, whether you're in politics, whether you're in a different industry, whether you're, you know, I don't care what industry you are, but you're going to have to figure this thing out before it gets way out of control.
Yeah, we have to, because everyone's embracing this AI and saying, oh, it's so wonderful. Until it takes your job, mm-hmm. until it tracks everything you do, until it lies about you. I was just listening to a fellow podcaster. I don't think they're they're not in our circle, Jeff. They're just someone that I'm on the same platform with them. Mm-hmm. And we have these group chats. And it was pretty cool on one hand to think that Donald Trump promoted this man's podcast, right? I mean, that's kind of cool to think, you know, if someone hears it, they're going to think, oh my gosh, Donald Trump, or the President Trump endorsed this guy's podcast. It's all AI generated. And it sounded exactly like President Trump. But it scared me on the other hand that if they can mimic your voice like that, and we already know that AI can lie because they've already come out and told us AI can lie and make stuff up. Mm-hmm. Who's to say that they can't use that against us someday to accuse us of a crime we never committed? Our face will be there, our voice will be there, but we never were really there because it was all AI generated. It's kind of where my mind goes. If they can mimic a voice that well, and they already told us AI can lie, then who's to say if we become public enemy number one that, and then everyone will believe it because it looks real.
Mm-hmm. That's the problem that we're facing today. And this is where, you know, our legislators, they should be doing something about this. In my opinion, they should be like, I'm somebody that's for very little, government intervention. But if I could get in front of legislators in DC, the thing that I would pitch them on is shut down AI right now, because it's going to get out of control, because now you're going to have false accusations. How are you going to have a criminal justice system if you don't know whether the evidence is real or not because of artificial intelligence? You can't, which is what the powers that be actually want. Is they want chaos. They want anarchy. They want it to be to where, you know, you don't know reality. You don't know what's true. You don't know what's false. You don't know who to believe. And so at a certain point, this is all playing into the globalist plan of utter destruction, divide and conquer. And guess what? The only source of income, or the only source of truth that you're going to be able to trust, is the government, because you're not going to be able to trust anything else you see. You're not going to be able to trust a podcast. You're not going to be able to trust, you know, the newspaper. You're not going to be able to trust anybody, because mm-hmm. everything will be manipulated by artificial intelligence. So it's just, it's one of those things that we're going to have to figure out as a society and as a country.
Yeah. And then there was this article that posted on Zero Hedge, and it said that backlash is real. The DEI exodus gains steam across corporate America, and says that both DEI and ESG gravy trains on Wall Street are finally coming to an unceremonious end. I'm so glad to hear that. The unraveling of diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives have seen on the state level as red states rush to ban DEI programs in 2023. Google, Facebook, and other tech companies slashed DEI staff by late last year. Early this year, universities began rolling back diversity programs, while Harvard president Claudine Gay was demoted. DEI was doomed to fail, and corporations have been quickly scrambling to abandon mindless, profitless diversity programs with Marxist roots. The latest earnings call data shows that DEI mentions have collapsed from their peak in 2021, according to Axios. And I'm so glad, because what DEI says, it sounds good. Diversity, who would argue against that? Equity, doesn't it sound like equality? Yeah, so who would argue against that? And inclusion, we want to all be inclusive. I mean, the words sound good, but they don't mean what they say they mean. Right. So diversity was a small group of people that thought exactly the same. And equity just means that we're all going to get to the same spot no matter how you got there. So right. That could mean someone could work really hard get to a certain place. And then someone else is going to get to that certain place because they're going to take from that hardworking person and give it to the one who really didn't deserve it or earn it. Because, well, we all have to be equal and we all have to get to the same place, which is communism. And inclusion, only the people that fit in that certain category get to be included. The rest of us do not. And so I'm kind of glad that we're finally seeing this collapse. And I'm glad that business owners are finally feeling the pinch, like the big corporations are finally feeling the pinch. And I've been wondering, how is Hollywood even selling films right now with the diversity, equity, inclusion? How are they getting money? How are they still filmmaking with all this? Because no one's going to their movies. And I'm glad that it's finally this backlash is taking place now, so that it's not that you and I, Jeff, want to stop diversification. You know, we want all kinds of thoughts in the marketplace. But the way they were framing it was only a certain group of people. And if you didn't fall within that line and that mindset, you were excluded.
Yeah.
So the words sounded good, but the meaning was not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's really interesting because a couple of years ago, I was up in Hollywood and at a friend's house, and there were some different people, like executives and people like that from the Hollywood industry, that were all sitting around the dinner table. We were all kind of talking. I was a lone conservative, obviously, there. But it was interesting because, you know, there was one that was like an executive over at Universal Studios, and they were talking about, you know, this same type of thing, and they were talking about their target audience and whether or not the studios care about what the American people actually think. And they basically said all they care about is LA and New York, those two places, which are flaming lefty. Then the other one that's even bigger than those two that they care about are the foreign markets, China especially, because if they can tap into that, they don't even care if a movie is successful here in the United States, because it's peanuts compared to the kind of money that they can make overseas. And so they're making all of their content for foreign markets. In the Middle East, they're making it because they're making a crap ton of money in the Middle East. They're making it for Europe. They're making it for China. They're making it for everywhere except for the United States, because guess what? The United States does not make as much money for them because our cost of conducting business, whether it's for movie theaters, studios, all that kind of stuff, is so high. Whereas you go over to China, because hey, everything's slave labor, you know, the cost of living is not nearly as high. So they have wider profit margins over there. So they're going to cater to these foreign markets over there. So
EBSRA LLC is a registered investment advisor. The information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investment, or investment strategies. Investment involved risk and unless otherwise stated or not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategies discussed.
They're not covering up. They're very blatant and open and honest about this. That's their strategy. And I think it's playing out right in front of us, but it's just the vast majority of people don't actually understand what's going on here.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good explanation of that. Well, you know, Jeff, it's been so much fun hanging out with you this last hour. So I just want to, again, let people know where they can find The Jeff Dornick Show.
Yeah, definitely. On Rumble, either at The Jeff Dornick Show or at Freedom First Network. If you guys do Freedom First Network, you get the whole host of shows over there. And then as well, my Substack, jeffdornick.substack.com. And then if you guys want to sign up for the social media platform that we're building, we're launching here in the next couple of weeks, go to pickaxe.com, sign up. All signups before we launch, you guys will be a part of the beta launch. That way you help us test things out, make sure everything's working properly before we do our official launch. But make sure you guys are doing that, and then just follow me on X. Once Pickaxe launches, I'm going to be basically leaving all the rest of the platforms and going over to Pickaxe. But in the meantime, you guys can follow me at Jeff Dornick on X. So
now Pickaxe, PICAX or
PI. So it's PICKAX.com. And it's funny because the word, we've got two different meanings. One is we're picking away at the power that big tech has. We're kind of emoting like some physical work. We're getting in there. It's us. It's not AI. It's not technology. It's all that kind of stuff. But then also when you get on the platform, if you like something, you'll pick it. If you don't, you axe it, and you'll have that right. Those two buttons right there. And so, yeah, we kind of play around with that a little bit.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you, Jeff. And we will catch you later.
Sounds good. Thanks. Come back soon. Definitely.
Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.